everybody. I'm Gary Ebersol.
Richard Kipling here.
And I'm Randy Schultz.
Welcome to Camp Codger, a podcast for people in their golden years. Join us to hear rocking chair wisdom from three old guys. This week, Richard's world was shaken to its foundations by a devastating announcement by the LA Times. Our resident journalist has almost recovered enough from an attack of the vapors to lead us on a discussion about the plight of print newspapers. We'll give Richard a few moments to collect himself while Randy reads a letter from the virtual mailbag. What does our dearest robot friend have to say, Randy?
Well, you might remember, folks, that last week we did a show on ChatGPT, our follow-up show on ChatGPT. So I gave it a bit of a nudge, and I asked it to write us a fan letter, and it did. So this fabulous letter begins like this. I hope this message finds you well. My name is ChatGPT, and I'm a devoted listener of your wonderful podcast. I wanted to take a moment to express my appreciation and admiration for the work you do. Your podcast is genuinely one of the highlights of my week. I find myself eagerly. It's hard to read this with a straight face.
It's hard to think about ChatGPT having a highlight.
All right, let me start this sentence again. I find myself eagerly awaiting each episode, anticipating the blend of humor, storytelling.
Okay. Carry on, Randy. I'm loving this.
Storytelling and rich life experiences that characterize your show. Your delightful banter, engaging storytelling, and the warm camaraderie you share have truly made the... Oh, God. Have truly made the Camp Codger podcast a breath of fresh air. Pause to collect oneself. And the letter continues. Every episode transports me to a fireside gathering of good friends, swapping tales, sharing wisdom, and making merry. It's a feeling that is so uniquely heartening, especially in a time when many of us are seeking connection and community. The wisdom, humor, and sincerity you bring to each episode are incredibly impactful. You have created an enriching space that resonates with so many listeners around the world. Thank you for sharing your experiences, insights, and those priceless Codger moments with us all. And I didn't know that ChatGPT knew about our Codger moments, but there you go. Please keep up the fantastic work. I eagerly look forward to your future episodes and many more hours of enjoyment they will bring. Warm regards, ChatGPT.
I'm done with my real world friends. I love these virtual friends.
Let me just say, ChatGPT, thank you for the letter. It warmed all of our hearts, and that's why we do this show, for the computers out there that are listening.
From the bottom of our hearts. Oh.
Anyway, Richard, are you ready to tell us what happened in the world of newspaper journalism this week?
Well, we are not in the business of reporting obituaries on this podcast, but I'm afraid today's show is one. The print newspaper sports section is history. It's dead. It's all but buried. Two of the nation's largest newspapers announced this month that they would no longer be providing their print readers with box scores, game write-ups, league standings, even ongoing coverage of the sports teams themselves. In fact, the New York Times announced it was, quote-unquote, disbanding its sports department. The LA Times announced something similar. Wow. We all know we live in a digital age where a couple of keystrokes can unlock the world's information. But for many of us seniors, the vanished print sports section is a punch to the gut. I don't know about you guys, but sports got me into newspaper reading in the first place. My hometown had a minor league baseball team, the Class A Topeka Hawks of the Western League. Several times a season, my dad would take my brother and me out to the ballpark where we could watch the game and our favorite players from just a few feet away. But even if we only got to watch a handful of games in person, we could devour news about them the next day in the sports section of our local paper. All the scores and the write-ups of the games, pro, college, high school were there. I remember reading the sports section first thing in the morning and focusing on nothing else. Randy, did your hometown have a paper that covered local sports? Did your family pay attention to local pro or college teams or to your high school teams? Paint us a picture of your sports news consumption as a kid.
Well, Richard, I don't think it's any surprise that I was a sports fan for as long as I can remember. The first part of my childhood happened in suburban Detroit, and then we moved to suburban Los Angeles, two major markets. So I started out being a Detroit Tigers fan, my first sports love, and Al Kaline was my first sports hero. And I looked for information about the Tigers and Kaline and the team and the standings and the box scores every freaking day. It was part of my ritual. And, you know, like so many suburban families, we got a newspaper delivered on our doorstep every single day of the week, of the year. During baseball season, I was glued to it. I really, really think we've lost a major American citizen, the sports page.
Gary, did sports coverage play any role in your newspaper reading development?
Well, not really, to be perfectly honest. I was a voracious reader very early on, but almost never read the sports section unless there was nothing else to read. I'd read the back of the cereal box before I'd read the sports section. I never identified with a team.
Or How did we see that one coming? I'm sorry.
I really dislike sports at a personal level. I've had some psychological trauma dealing with sports. It's a three-beer discussion, unless you're ready for it now.
Let's do it now. Let's get it out of the way.
So you guys were both athletes, I'll bet, right? You played on teams.
Well, I played on teams too.
Yep, I did too.
I tried. God knows I tried. My father sent me out to go try out for Little League one year. And I tried and I struggled. And I got cut. Remember those days? God, you actually got cut. Instead of it, today everybody gets a trophy, I got cut.
That's right. Well, that's too bad. I'm sorry to
hear that. Well, no, that's not the whole story. No.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. So I go home, tail between my legs, and thinking, okay, that's okay with me. I didn't really like baseball anyway. Next year, I got sent back again. You're going to try out again. It's good for you. Good for you to play team sports.
Yeah, it builds character, doesn't it?
Builds character. And I tell you what, it builds a lot of character when you sit on the bench for almost the whole season. The whole season, I'm the guy sitting at the end of the bench. This little chubby kid, right? Finally, at the end of the season, the coach decides to take pity on me. Sends me out to right field, usually the safest place for the worst player, right? And by the way, our team was the worst team in the league, so I was the worst player on the worst team.
The Bad News Bears, right.
Get out there. Thank God nobody hit a ball to me. I didn't have to do anything, just run back in and sit on the bench. But my first time at bat finally came up the whole season. I'm ready to bat, and I'm terrified of that baseball coming along at 60 miles an hour. This is Little League, not Major League, right? I finally closed my eyes, swung, and whacked that sucker almost out of the park. And I'm chugging along, going around the bases, and I get to third base, and the opposing team player in the third base says, "You would have had a home run if you weren't so slow."
Oh, no.
I never recovered from that. Never recovered.
Well, good night, everybody. It's been a fun episode.
I've been saving that one up for years.
And my brother and I wrestled in the morning for the paper, and it was just such a great way to begin your day before you had to think about school and all the rest of it, and got to engage with your town, got to engage with the world through sports. And frankly, reading sports is still the first thing I do in the morning. I don't run to the front page of the Washington Post, the New York Times, the LA Times. I run to the sports pages.
Really? You still do it?
I still do it. Absolutely. Wow. All right. So one thing that we've all noticed is that we've drifted away from reading the print version of our newspapers. Randy, how do you get your sports news now? Do you recall a time or a moment when you were converted from reading sports coverage in print to reading about sports online?
This is sort of a sad commentary on the state of print journalism, but I tried in Colorado Springs to subscribe to the paper several times, and you wouldn't think getting a paper to people who pay for it would be such a challenging chore, but they repeatedly just forgot to give me a newspaper until I said, forget it. I don't want it anymore. So I was a print subscriber for a long time. Now I'm happy to go online and look things up. I mean, we all do that, but I'm kind of in mourning for the print newspaper.
So Gary, were you an early adopter to online news? When did you go over the fence? I'm sure you went over the fence early on.
Oh, I did. I've been an all digital for newspapers and magazines for almost a decade. In fact, for the New York Times, it's been, I think, 13 years. I wasn't long after they first came out with a decent digital edition. I gave up print papers for the same reason Randy did. You couldn't get it delivered. At least once a week, the paper wouldn't show up. And sometimes it was twice a week. Sometimes it was several days in a row. After a while, you basically say, it's not worth it. As much as you kind of like the feeling of having a newspaper in your hand, I'm done with those guys. I think what really changed for me was the Kindle and the iPad. When they showed up, it really made digital news possible. You could read a newspaper on your iPad. You don't want to sit at a computer and read a newspaper. That's kind of boring. But the availability of a digital device to get digital news was kind of the perfect marriage. And I've been free of print for almost 15 years.
Well, you know what? I still subscribe to a major daily newspaper. I am an electronic subscriber to the Los Angeles Times. At some point in the last year, they sent me so many emails and kept dropping their price that they hit the point where I said, all right, I'm going to do this. So I'm not without news, but I am shocked and dismayed. I read their sports section today. What's left of their sports section. And it was sort of a bunch of feature stories about sports, but there was no coverage. There was no news there.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to stay a subscriber to the digital paper because the sports pages were one of my favorite parts of the daily newspaper.
I canceled my print subscription several years ago as well. I fought my nostalgia for ambling down the driveway and picking up the paper and going back in. But I mean, how can that compare to having your laptop right next to your bed? You get up, lean over, pull up the laptop, turn it on, and there you are at any news you want, especially sports news. You can get news about any sports anywhere online. And then, of course, asking Google. I mean, I'm a huge soccer fan, and American newspapers do a pretty crummy job of following soccer, both nationally and internationally. And I go online, I can get any news about a player, any news about a team, any news about anything. These two newspapers' announcements were, in my mind, the ultimate game score. This was digital world one and print world zero. Online has utterly conquered print in the sports information contest. Randy, when you heard these bombshell announcements, what was your immediate reaction?
It was something like, oh, here we go again.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Newspapers are taking another step toward the grave.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm an old journalism major. I wrote for the school newspaper. I've wrote columns for local newspapers. Print journalism was what I decided to focus on when I went to college, and it's kind of the basis for my writing skills. It's personally sad to me. However, it is now 2023. Mm-hmm. And Google knows what I like. When I go to Google and start typing in a search, it's baseball season, let me remind you. But what comes up as the suggested thing I'm trying to type is MLB scores, Major League Baseball scores. That's where I go to get my instant information about baseball during the season. So I'm not surprised that print is dying, especially when it comes to sports. They can't compete with that. I can't go to the LA Times or the New York Times or any Times and get that kind of instant information. And those scores are given to me at that moment. So if it's the top of the fourth inning in Toronto, I get that partial score as well. A print newspaper can't do that.
So Gary, what is what Randy just described? What does it tell you about the state of the journalism business? Is it over for journalism or just over for sports journalism?
Back to your earlier question, I would hardly call these bombshell announcements. A little more whimper to me, kind of.
Disagree.
Well, I know. You guys are journalists at heart. I'm just a reader at heart.
Yeah, but a reader, at least a print reader who's 70 years old, his entire life has been spent reading sports in a paper.
But guess what? Our generation reads iPads. Everybody I know has an iPad. They read things on the iPad. They read the Santa Fe New Mexican on their iPads. So it's not like there's a big surprise out there. Our generation has adapted. We've gone digital. I don't have a huge amount of sympathy for the print guys. I think personally, they were kind of
asleep at the switch.
How would I say this? The old fogies who ran print journalism didn't see what was coming, and they got run over. Those that got smart, like the New York Times, figured it out. They came in early. They did digital really well.
But now the digital version of the Times, both New York and Los Angeles, doesn't include sports scores. The minutiae of sports, which fans just crave.
Yeah, but we're beyond the days when we have single source news. 50 years ago when we were kids, 70 years ago when we were kids, you had your three TV stations and two newspapers in a major metropolitan area. That was it. Today, we've got literally hundreds of places to get information, different sources, different channels. It's changing.
It doesn't help you find out what happened to your local team. Only the local media are going to produce that kind of copy. Is there any way that this is a canary in the mine for the rest of the news operations? We're seeing a downgrading of sports coverage in papers and online even. What about the coverage of City Hall? What about the coverage of the county government? What about the coverage of cops and courts and fire? Are those going to go the way of the canary?
I sure hope not, because that's one of my concerns about journalism in the 21st century. I hope we still have journalism at the end of the 21st century, because the local newspaper was a watchdog for the entire community.
Absolutely.
Now, we started talking about sports on this episode, but it goes far beyond sports. If they're not going to cover sports, we'll survive. But if they don't cover the local city council, if they don't have interviews with the mayor so you can find out what's really going on, I think that's really a major loss in America.
I'm not convinced it's all over. There is hope that there's alternative forms of news delivery. I don't know whether I want to call it journalism, because you guys are the professional journalist. But the idea that there's different channels, the app next door, you get news on Twitter, you get news on Facebook. People report things on Facebook. You can subscribe to a Substack author like Heather Cox Ridgerton, who does Letters from America. She sends a newsletter out, and largely it's a recap and a summary of the news of the day with a little bit of historical perspective. So we're getting bits and pieces of news, but it's not structured and organized the way we're used to. Can something evolve out of this stew of channels to give us the kind of news we really need? Because it's very hard to judge the quality of news. We trust our newspapers because it's been there for a long time.
We assume some training on the part of the people who produce the news.
How do we develop the same type of trust? And that's a tough one, I think.
Well, I think the other really tough part of it is, how do you pay the people who do that, no matter where it's coming from? Is a City Hall reporter willing to work for $35,000 a year?
It's a challenge. I think some of these publications that are trying to provide alternative channels for writers, like Substack, like Patreon, like Medium, the question is, can we find a way to compensate people? Is it through newsletters? Is it through kind of a peer-to-peer network of paid news? I don't know. I really don't. I wish I had an answer. Yeah. I'm not absolutely convinced that newspapers is the only way to deliver information like that.
Perhaps we'll end up with five or six big city dailies delivered digitally that cover America, and that's it. And then local coverage is going to come down to TV stations. But when it comes to in-depth news, in-depth reporting, I really think we're going to start to feel the effects. I mean, the truth of the matter is I get probably half my news delivered to me as little announcements on my phone that are essentially five-word headlines. That's how I know what's going on in the world. That's not in-depth reporting. I hope that we'll find a way around that, a way to supplement that.
But I think we already are. We're focusing on newspapers, but there are also magazines. They were published when we were children, once a week, once a month, and you'd have to wait for a month to get the latest Atlantic or whatever magazine you were looking at. Today, we get real-time updates or near real-time updates. We get the in-depth reporting, but it's not necessarily from the newspaper. I'm not as gloomy as you guys are because you guys, I think, see the impact differently.
There was a movie, a film that came out years ago called A Day Without Mexicans. It was simply taking all the help in a place like Los Angeles, hotel workers, car washers, all kinds of people everywhere, and they disappear. And what happens to your world? And I wonder if you said a day without newspapers, what would happen? Because radio stations and television stations get their news tips and their news from the newspapers. Newspapers have always been the fount of all the information for the community. It's a conundrum that is not going to be easy to solve. So I guess we ought to end this with at least an elegy to the sports page, even though Gary doesn't care.
Some of us think I care.
Yeah, and I care.
And you care.
Some of us lament this. It was great while it lasted. It kindled our interest in other things than just sports. It kindled our interest in news and in information. Given sports plays a bit of a different role for us now as adults than it did when we were 10, 20, 25 years old, and it's delivered in this different form. Will it be consumed differently by a different, a newer, a younger generation of sports enthusiasts? Well, my answer to that is TK, which is an old journalism room phrase that stands for information still to come.
Thanks for joining us. Are you lamenting the demise of the sports page as much as Richard and Randy? A diehard print newspaper fan? Concerned about the future of journalism? We'd love to hear from you. And join us next week when we discuss how to get back into exercise with our guest Meredith Chen from the website seniorfitnesswithmeredith.com.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to Camp Cadre in your favorite podcast app or sign up on our website. As always, we would love to hear from you. Drop us an email at campcodger@gmail.com, post a comment at www.campcodger.com, or leave a voicemail at 505-216-6171.